It's Al Stewart, Year of the Cat. And I remember when that song was popular, I was dating the dog of the year. 10 minutes afternoon, I'm Mike McVeigh. This is WAKY. We are your radio station. I have a special guest, and it's a privilege to have this man in the studio with me this afternoon. Pee-wee Reese, welcome to the radio program.
Hey, Mike. Nice being here with you. I've enjoyed coming down here and meeting a lot of the people here at WAKY, and I'm looking forward to you coming over to the Cystic Fibrosis Party February the 1st. I see your name's on the list, and it'll be a pleasure to have you there. I think you'll enjoy it. We'll put an apron on you and let you serve a few drinks and maybe serve a few meals and don't spill. But I think you'll enjoy it, Mike.
Well, that's basically what we're here to talk about today, the Pee-wee Reese Celebrity Dinner, and it is the 12th annual.
That's right.
And it will be held when and where?
It will be held at the Galt House, and the cash bar will start at 6:30. And the dinner will be served at 7:30, maybe at 7:30, maybe a little bit later.
Depends with all the celebrities serving
right,
the dinner when we get
right
around to it. Listen, we're going to be talking to Pee-wee a little bit later here. You stay with us. We have some other things happening. We'll be opening up the phone lines also. It's a dirt band backed up by Linda Ronstadt. Name of the song is An American Dream. 1218, this is WAKY. And the youngsters that are suffering from cystic fibrosis, I guess they have a dream to be cured, a dream of families. A lot of people have put in a lot of time. We have with us not only Pee-wee Reese, but Rich Mattingly. And Rich, if you could step over to the microphone also.
How are you?
Just want to say hello to you. Cystic fibrosis, of course, is involved as the charity with the Pee-wee Reese Celebrity Dinner. Tell us a little bit about the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation here in Kentuckiana.
Okay, Mike, annually, of course, we work to raise funds to fight cystic fibrosis, which is our primary concern in the foundation. We represent the children and the young adults as well that have cystic fibrosis, and through the annual celebrity dinner party and Pee-wee Reese's annual festivity to involve celebrities around the region, we have a great time and go out and raise funds and sort of channel some information about the disease and what progress we're making. So we're looking forward to that this week, but the foundation really needs the support of the entire public and the entire support of Jefferson County.
Okay, thank you, Rich. Pee-wee, if I can have you step back over to the microphone just for a second there. I'm gonna do two things.
What are you going to do?
One, I'm going to ask you a question,
right,
and that is, how did you start the Pee-wee Reese Celebrity Dinner? What prompted that?
Well, really, I think, if I can recall it, Mike, I think Julie Shaw and Ryan Halloran over at WAVE at the time started it, got together with the cystic fibrosis people. That was a little bit before Rich's time, and they had the dinner. I don't think it may not have been called the Pee-wee Reese Dinner at first. Maybe it was, Mike. But Julie Shaw and Ryan Halloran, we had the first dinner out at Bernie's back room. And it was a very small place, and we had a lot of laughs and a lot of fun, and it got so large that we finally moved out of there and moved to Stouffer's. And we had it there for a couple of years, and last year was we've been over at the Galt House, I think, for 2 years. So we'll be back at the Galt House this year. And everyone seems to enjoy it. Mike, after I once get there, you get a little concerned about how many people are going to be there and how many tickets are going to be sold, how many celebrities will show up. And we've had a great response this year on celebrities. We still would like to have a few more people, a few more tickets sold, because it's a pretty good-sized room over there. And the tickets are $25 each, and it's tax-deductible. So I think it's a kind of a cheap night for a great cause. And
it's a star-studded night.
Star-studded night. Yes, sir.
Picked that up in Hollywood.
Did you? Sounds good, Mike.
We'll run down the list in a few minutes. The next thing I want you to do is take this. That's a weather forecast. You start practicing reading that, and we'll hear Pee-wee do the weather as he's a guest disc jockey in a second.
Saturday, January 26th, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., 8 hours only. Be there.
Dinarman Frankie is a home's best friend.
Louisville Air Park on Great Lane between Fern Valley and Preston Highway.
Hi, this is Pee-wee Reese bringing you Wacky's exclusive AccuWeather forecast for Kentuckiana. Some sunshine. What did I say? Some sunshine this afternoon. How about 50? Temperatures will begin dropping into the 40s late this afternoon. Breezy and colder with some flurries likely tonight. Low 25 Saturday. Cloudy with the chance of some sleet or snow. By midday or afternoon, some accumulation is possible. High tomorrow, 32. Sunday, snow ending. Breezy and colder with a high near 25. And the temperature right now here is 49 degrees. Mike?
Thank you, Pee-wee. Tell you what, Bill Bailey better watch out for his job.
Kenny Loggins.
This is it. WAKY, 1226. 4 minutes from now, we'll check with Sherry Southmaid and find out what's happening in Kentucky. Anna, I have Pee Wee Reese in the studio with me, and we were just talking about your broadcasting days and what have you. Let's talk a little bit about Pee Wee Reese. Where did you first break into baseball, Pee Wee?
Mike, I was born about 50 miles from here down in Meade County. I moved a little when I was about 9 years old. Played ball in Shawnee Park when I was a youngster. Played on a church team called New Covenant Presbyterian Church. And that's really where I got my start in 1935, 36. And playing in a ball game at Parkway Field, old Parkway Field. And a scout saw me and wanted to sign me, offered me $200 as a bonus.
All that big money back then.
All that big money then. But I got my start right here in Louisville.
To the Dodgers? How did you get
to the Dodgers? I was with Louisville in 1938 and 39, and I thought I was going to the Red Sox because the Red Sox had a working agreement with the Colonels at the time, and that's where I wanted to go. Mm-hmm. But Joe Cronin was the shortstop there, and he thought that he had a couple more years to play, and they didn't want me ever down there, or I didn't like what they saw. So I was sold to the Brooklyn Dodgers, where I didn't want to go, because all I ever heard about Brooklyn was a couple guys ended up on the same base, guys getting hit in the head with the baseball. But it was probably the best thing that ever happened to me, being in New York in a large city like that, and being fortunate enough to play with just a super ball club for a number of years. We won 7-8 pennants while I was there. And having a chance to be with Jackie Robinson, who was the first black that came in baseball. Mm-hmm. There were a lot of things happening.
Can we talk about that for a second? I mean, that had to be...
Mike, whatever you want to talk about.
Well, that had to be an experience. Of course, we've come a long way since those days.
Haven't we?
What was it like? What was the general team's feeling at first?
Well, it was very strange, even for a person... it was very strange for me, because being brought up here in Louisville, and when you look back, and the blacks in the back of the bus, you had a fountain for the blacks, and you couldn't sit... it was very tough. And I had never played with any blacks when growing up as a youngster in the park. So when I first was around Jackie, it was a little strange. I'd never been around too many black people at all. Mm-hmm. But after I saw what this guy was going through, Mike, and the pressure that he had trying to break into a white game, I really admired this man. He was a very sharp, very articulate, very sensitive man. And for 2 years, Mr. Rickey told him not to say anything. He didn't say anything. He didn't say anything to any of the players that called him watermelon eater, nigger, or whatever he wanted, whatever they did call him, and a lot of them did. He didn't say anything back. But after the 2 years up, and Mr. Rickey said, "You are no longer the first black player. You are now a major league ball player. If you said something to him then, you better watch out, because he may bite back."
We're talking to Pee Wee Reese. He's going to be with us for a while this afternoon. This is WAKY. We are your station. That's Fleetwood Mac. Don't stop. WAKY. 23 minutes till 1. Mike McVeigh and Pee Wee Reese in the studio with me this afternoon. And we have not only been discussing the Pee Wee Reese Celebrity Dinner coming up. We've been talking a little bit about Pee Wee's career, and we have taken you as far as the Brooklyn Dodgers so far. How did you make the transition then from the Dodgers into... was it called the Game of the Week? The sports announcing you did?
Yeah, it was called the CBS Game of the Week, Mike. And I think NBC had a game at the time. Joe Garagiola and someone was on the other... maybe Leo DeRocher. But Diz was very powerful on the Game of the Week. Everyone loved him. Well, no, I won't say everyone loved him. You either loved him or hated him. Uh-huh. One of those type of things. But had a very good rating, and I worked with him for 6 years, and it was probably the happiest 6 years I ever spent. He was great to me, and mm-hmm. we got along super together. And some of the things and some of the stories that we can't exactly talk about right now, Mike.
That's what I was just going to ask, if there were any memorable Dizzy Dean stories, but the program is rated G.
But I worked with Diz for 6 years, and then I worked with Kurt Gowdy for 3 years on NBC. And I bounced around a little bit there. I was with Cincinnati for a couple years, worked with Ed Kennedy up there, worked in Montreal for a year. The job at Duke Snyder, who was just inducted in the Hall of Fame, mm-hmm. he now does the games for Montreal on radio and television. Enjoyed Montreal very much. In fact, I enjoyed television and radio. I got to do a couple of games or a few games in the World Series on radio, which I had never done before. Worked with guys like Jack Buck and Harry Carey. Mm-hmm. And
What an excellent sportscaster, Harry Carey.
Yes, so is Jack Buck.
Yeah.
And I worked with Jack Whitaker at CBS, who is to be is a real professional. And it was nice to be with these type of people because me being a color man and, as they say, an ex-jock, you have to have someone like that to really kind of take you on and get you out. It looks very simple doing these things on the air, how easily they come on the air and how easily they get out. But if you haven't tried this, it's pretty tough. Now, the two guys now, Tom Brookshire and Pat Summerall on CBS, I think they do a super job, and they're both ex-football players. But it's a very difficult thing for a football player, a baseball player, to come in and really take over the show, bring it on and get it off the air. It's difficult. Mm-hmm. And you know that, Mike.
Sure. I know very little about sports.
You don't? You don't
I used to play tennis just to hear somebody say love to me.
Oh, come on.
We're going to continue our discussion with Pee Wee Reese as the day goes on. You stay with us.
Shake it all you can tonight.
WAKY 13 in front of one. And shake it. I was going to say that's what Pee Wee Reese probably did when he went up to bat. You do that? Did you have any of those superstitions? You know, ball players have the superstitions where they have certain breakfasts every morning before a game or...
Yeah, I guess I was superstitious, Mike. Someone told me that superstitious was a sign of ignorance, but I'd have to admit that I was. I would never step on the line going out to the infield or when coming back in, or if I got a base hit with a bat. Now, you carry two bats up there a lot of times. I'd always make sure I got the same one. I was superstitious, yes. Mm-hmm. And not as quite as superstitious as a lot of ball players, evidently, but... I would say I was superstitious. Right. Anything that I thought would help me get a base hit, man,
that
I
was
tried
worth it.
Huh? Yeah.
What are you doing now? We covered your career as a baseball player and up to being a sportscaster.
I thought you would never ask, Mike. I work for Louisville Slugger, Hillrick and Bransby.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, over at 2nd and Broadway. Of course, our plant is across the river now in Jeffersonville.
Mm-hmm.
Or in Sellersburg. And I've been there with him for 9 or 10 years, public relations, promotional work, and sure if anyone's listening over there, they'll say that I don't do a whole lot, which they're probably right.
What does that job entail? You go on the road and speak to
Yeah,
people?
Well, I have done some of that. And I go to spring training, go to the World Series, the All-Star Game. I went to Japan a couple of years ago with Mr. Jack Hillrick, who is president of our company. We do a lot of business with the Japanese, and we went over with the Reds 2 years ago, in fact.
Uh-huh.
And we put on a big cocktail party over there night with all the Reds attending, and the people, the retailers that handle our gloves and bats and batting gloves and baseballs over there, and they came to the affair that night, which was a nice affair.
Uh-huh.
But... whatever they want me to do, I'll do.
When you're on the road with the new ball players, do you notice a difference between the ball players and attitudes or anything at all? I mean, is it a different world from when you were a Brooklyn Dodger to traveling with the team now? And
It's different. I guess in a lot of ways. Of course, money wise, that the salaries now are just it's just hard for me to comprehend the salaries today. When Freddie Normand the other day, who signed with the Montreal club, who pitched for the Reds last year, and he's been a 500 pitcher all of his life, and he said he even had to laugh a little bit when the salary he got something like $125,000 bonus just for signing and $250,000 for signing, and Freddie's 37 or 38 years old, so the salaries today I just can't believe. But the baseball game and the players, maybe they're a little bit more aware of what's going on in stock market or investments. Their agents talking to them about what's happening or how to invest their money than we did. I think we may have played the game a little bit more because we just enjoyed...
Did you even have an agent when you were getting into... You had to speak for yourself?
I could never have taken an agent in to talk to Mr. Larry McPhail or Branch Rickey or Buzzy Bavese at that time. I think they'd have thrown me out.
Uh-huh.
And I do really believe that some of the players... even maybe Pee-wee was a little bit underpaid at the time. But we had so many shortstops down in the minor leagues, you were a little bit leery about holding out. But the fellas today, they don't have all the minor league clubs that we had. So it is different in that way. But it's still basically the same game. And you have some nice guys on a ball club, and you have some players that are not so nice, and some of the players that want to play all the time, like a Pete Rose plays 160 games, 162 games, and some guys will get out with a hangnail, and we had the same thing when we played, so it hasn't changed so much.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we're going to take a look at our exclusive AccuWeather right around the corner. Maybe you want to talk to Pee Wee Reese. Our phone number is 589-WAKY. WAKY's exclusive AccuWeather forecast for Kentuckiana. Sunshine this afternoon off and on, high about 50. Then temperatures are going to begin dropping into the 40s late this afternoon. Breezy, colder, some flurries likely tonight, low down to 25. And cloudy with a chance of some sleet or snow by midday or afternoon on Saturday. High tomorrow, 32. Ooh, that's freezing. 49 at J-Town and Wacky. Okay. 5 minutes in front of one. Bobby Hatfield will be here at one. WAKY Pee Wee Reese is with us this afternoon. And you have the Pee Wee Reese Celebrity Dinner Party coming up. It is the 12th annual Pee Wee Reese Celebrity Dinner Party.
Thank you, Mike. We sure do. It'll be April the 1st, Friday, 6:30, cash bar at the Galt House. The dinner will be served at 7:30, maybe 8 o'clock. But I think we're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to have a lot of wonderful people over there, celebrities.
The deal is a celebrity serve, right?
They always
do you have
serve.
Some of the names there?
Oh, I sure do.
Maybe you want to mention some of those people.
Sure do. We have David Whitman, Randy Waters, Tom Van Howe, Angie's coming over there, and Paul Harning, Denny Crum will be there. So we have quite a group. There's a list of them here. Rich, how many of them are? About 25 or 30?
About 34 celebrities that are going to be there now, Pee Wee, and they're still calling up. We're really looking forward to it because there's a lot of great input. Gary Burbank, a lot of the people around here. Mike McVay from Wacky.
I was waiting for him. I had
never.
To point at myself.
Bob Moody.
And Bobby Hatfield. We got quite a contingent coming over there from Wacky, so we're looking forward to it.
Okay. Mike. Thank you, Pee Wee. W-A-K-Y. Well, that does it for Mike McVay today. Pee Wee Reese, thank you very much for being a guest.
Thank
with
you,
us.
Mike. I've certainly enjoyed talking with you. And if you ever like to have me back for 5 or 10 minutes, I'll be glad to come back, even when we're not talking about cystic fibrosis.
Great. Tell you what, maybe when Bill Bailey goes on vacation, we'll get you in here some morning.
Fine. Okay. But not doing too much, just talking with you, Mike.
Boy, those guys over to Louisville Slugger were right.
Thank you, Mike.